Thank you, dear Gil. Correction to the church. It's actually appropriate to snap, not applaud, at the conclusion of poetry. There we go. I have a memory to share with the class of 2024. 23 years ago, David Hughes was a part of the graduating class of 2001 from Pickens High School. Allow me to show you a picture or two of what Pastor looked like way back when. Here I am with some of my classmates. Boy, I thought I knew it all. What a cocky young man. It was a good year, 2001. I was all set for Furman University, and we participated in what was a tradition of that time. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but people still do sign yearbooks, don't they? Okay, cool. It was time for people to sign mine. They were going to represent the things that never change. They were going to tell me going with what's most important. Because while those things never change, there sure were a lot of things that have changed since then. Way back when, they would always put the current event headlines in the yearbook. I don't know if any of you have yearbooks like that. Here are a few. Let's start with technology. Personal digital assistants, known as PDAs, capable of calendaring, scheduling, note-taking, emailing, phoning, and web browsing, go mainstream. Competition among manufacturers heats up with Microsoft, BlackBerry, Palm, and other brands vying for shares of the teen and business markets. Now, the future called, 2001. These are called smartphones. Everyone has them. The market is dominated by Apple, save a few weirdos that insist on having Samsung and ruining every group message known to man. Let's check out politics. Very interesting year in politics. In the closest presidential election in more than 100 years, Republican George W. Bush of Texas beats Democrat Al Gore by Tennessee. The race isn't decided until 36 days after the popular election, when Florida's hotly contested 25 electoral votes are awarded to Bush. Does anybody else remember the hanging chads? You guys have no clue. Boy, we thought politics were contentious then. From the economy, outrage across the nation is heard as the average gas per gallon soars to $1.48. Boy, I wish that was still the case, don't you? Oh, fashion. This is something that has definitely changed. It says cargo shorts and cargo pants are all the rage amongst teens and youth. And if I might add, and still are for middle-aged dads everywhere. Lots changed since 2001. Thank goodness, though, there are some things that haven't. They're featured by some of the inscriptions of my classmates, my teachers, and my coaches, all of whom who underscore going with what's most important. This is what my friend Jamal Austin said. Where do I begin? Well, the past 12 years with you have been awesome. I really think high school brought us apart, but later brought us together. You've been a great friend and brother. I call it a pleasure to have you as my best friend. I hope we stay in touch and hang out. Keep God first. I know you will. It's just a reminder. Thanks, Jamal. He's a coach and a teacher in New Jersey now. He's doing great things. How about Tommy Joe Owens? Never stop being the loving David Hughes I know. Never forget me. I haven't. Still remember her well. Christy Stewart. I can remember when we were girlfriend and boyfriend in kindergarten. Dumped her. Too clingy. Now we're graduating and going off to college. I know that no matter where life leads you, you'll be successful. No matter where you go, remember God loves you. I look up to you so much, and I wish you the best in the future. She's a teacher at this very high school now. Teaches senior English. Isn't that amazing? Best for last, because he's one of the best I've ever known. Coach Brian Clevenger. He was my AP U.S. history teacher and my track coach. He called me Dave, as a lot of people did back then. Dave, if there ever was a student that I do not have to worry about, it's you. Your success is sealed and sure. I hope that you will forever remain my friend and fishing buddy. The Florida Keys await. Trout tremble at the mention of our names. Remember to always make time for fun. Don't rush. Live simple and savor every moment. Never settle for less than your dreams. Love, Brian Clevenger. A lot's changed since 2001, and I'm sure since the year you graduated. Some things never do. Written upon our hearts and our minds are always people who speak to our character and hope for our future. And they say in so many words, go with what matters most. You know, I feel like John the Apostle, once the youngest and boldest and most beloved by Jesus, and now, after some 60 years, the oldest and only, is writing in the yearbooks of the early church. He knows his time on earth is soon to end, and he's telling them in so many words, go with what matters most. It's in 1 John 3:16 through 24 that we see his yearbook inscription. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Graduates and church, three things from this scripture that are worthy of your attention as you consider the future. Three things that outline about what going with what matters most entails. The first is remember who you are. The second, live life to the full. And the third, never settle for less than your dreams. You know, it's no coincidence, I find, that 1 John 3:16 shares so many parallels with John 3:16, both written by that beloved disciple, both talking about God's love. Now, John 3:16 is probably one of the first scripture verses you committed to memory in your young lives. In fact, if you know it, can we say it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Sorry, I went King James Version on you. 1 John 3:16 says, and this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us so that we might lay down our life for our brothers and sisters. I think John, the once youngest disciples, had a lot of time to think about John 3:16 when he penned it many years ago. He knows that it's time to expound and amplify on what God's love means and what God's love does, because both of those things matter significantly as we know today and remember forevermore who we are. In essence, both say, you are a people of inestimable worth. God so loved that he gave you, Jesus, and just insert your name where it says you. And Jesus Christ loves you so much that he laid his life down for you. What an amazing gift. But with that, as we remember who we are, there comes some incredible opportunities. Inasmuch as you know your worth, now and forevermore, a child of God, you can see outside of yourselves the world that is in such great need for so many in your present and ever more increasingly in your future do not know their worth. As you see brothers and sisters in need, it says in the scripture today to lay your life down. And the way you do that is by taking something which you richly possess and then offering it to those who are in such desperate need. Oh, how the world needs to know that they matter. So many people don't realize their worth. It's why they turn to so many alternate places and alternate solutions, all in a desperate search to trying to find someone or something that looks at them and says, you matter. But God establishes that from the very beginning. And he is ever increasing his answer through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. You matter so much that God gave you the greatest gift ever known. And that same greatest gift laid down his life for you. You are a people of inestimable worth. Don't ever forget it. Remember who you are. And now looking at the great world that's in need, share what you know with them. The same God that gave us Jesus, the same Jesus that laid his life down for us, also does so for them. Never forget that within you is the light and the hope of mankind, that as much as you say it to others, you remind them that not only in God's eyes, but in mine, you're worth so much. Remember who you are. Also, live life fully. I know that might seem contradictory to some. Many who think that Christianity is nothing more than rules and regulations that do nothing more than sap the fun out of life. But there aren't that many rules and regulations. In fact, Jesus said there are only two, and they're not even to prohibit your activities. They're to enlarge your possibilities. Jesus, when asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is outlining, especially for people just like you who are on the threshold of so much vibrant living, that the possibilities are endless. How many ways can you think of that you can love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I thought of several very quickly as I put myself in your shoes. Graduates who were about to go into career or university or work, all of them have ready-made opportunities to live life fully. It's called having fun. Go to the concert. Stay up late. Call in on your parents just to ask how they're doing. Sit on the front row of class and introduce yourself to your professor. When he posts his office or her office hours, go by accordingly and set up an appointment and lift up to them something from lecture or reading that you found interesting. You'll feel like a scholar. Guys, ask the girl out in person. No Snapchat. And you pay. Ladies, if the guy isn't half bad looking and loves Jesus, give a passive yes as to keep him guessing and hold him to the highest standard. Come home, yes, to church. Tell us about your life, but more importantly, wherever you go, belong to a Christian community. People that partner with you and help form you and walk with you and encourage you, who know your story and you know theirs. Shall I go on? I could, but I feel like you're developing a list in your heart and mind that is far better than mine. So when you go home, write it out to the fullest. But there's a caveat to living life fully. We're going to make mistakes. The standard of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the second that is like it, loving your neighbor as yourself, is something that we oftentimes fall short of. John says that in those moments, not the world, but our own hearts condemn us. It's in those moments when our first and immediate instinct is to run from God. I did that. Freshman year at Furman University, I said to my parents, I'm going to go and explore other church options, which meant that every Sunday I was a consistent attendee at Bed Springs Baptist. My heart condemned me, and I thought that that meant that I had to run further from God. But John says, no. It's in the moments when your hearts condemn you that you run directly to your heavenly Father. And he will not only forgive your sins, but more importantly, he will replace condemnation with something we also desperately need: confidence. To get up, to try again, and to know that living life to the fullest is not an instant pursuit, but in fact is a lifelong adventure. Last but not least, something expressly written by Coach Clevenger's heart to mine, and I think by John to that church, is never settle less than for your dreams. John says that within each and every believing heart is the greatest power known to humankind. It is nothing more than the Spirit of God. That same Spirit that spoke creation into existence. That same Spirit that called the great names of faith into purpose, whether they be Abraham or Moses or Ruth, Naomi or Deborah or David, or Mary, the mother of God, or in fact, Jesus Christ himself, who heard from God above, this is my child whom I love and in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And the descending from heaven was nothing more than the Spirit of God that resided on Jesus' heart. It rose Christ from the dead. It allowed him to ascend in glory, and one day soon he will come back in fullness of victory. And that same Spirit lives in you. It is the inspiration of the greatest of dreams. For the dreams that the Spirit plants within our hearts are always about going into the world and making it a better place. Only Jesus said it differently. May it be on earth as it is in heaven. And as we pursue such bold dreams, we ourselves become nothing other than a reflection of Jesus Christ himself. Oh, what great dreams are within your heart. All you need do is call upon the power of the Spirit to make them come to the surface. So I have a deal with you today. As you go forward and allow the Spirit to do what it alone can do, to exercise its fullest power so that you never settle for less than your dreams, I want you to come home whenever that is. Because while you're away, this church, right church, we're going to do the same. Through our strategic plan, FBC Ignite, through our called hope that is to evermore proclaim that Jesus is Lord in Carrollton, Georgia, and the world round, we also are never going to settle less than for our dreams. So when you come home, we want to hear your stories, and we want to share our own. What a celebration that's going to be. Remember who you are. You're God's child. Live life to the fullest. That's why you were created. Never settle less than for your dreams. And as you go forward, you're going to carry with you what matters most. And your lives and your hearts will glow not only here and now, but in years future. When you look back on this day, this year, this moment in your lives, and you realize so many people were speaking over you the things that will never change. And the hopes they had for your future and the belief they state in your character. How will you respond to that today? Church, how will you? Our poet in residence, Gil Royal, said the following in his poem, "Observe, enjoy the morrow now unfurled with reckless abandon. Now embrace your world." That seems like a here and now proposition, not a now and later if I feel like it. And the hymn we are about to sing is nothing other than, "Lord, here am I." Within that hymn, there is a refrain. Within that refrain is a response of prayer. It says, time and time again, ready and willing, "Lord, here am I." If you're committing yourself today to go forward with what matters most, if you're committing today to remember who you are, to live life fully and never settle for less than your dreams, then whether you sing it, or whether you bow your head and pray it in your pew, whether you come forward here on this altar, whether you come so it is prayed over you by me, I want every single person here to say, "Ready and willing, Lord, here am I." Will you pray? God, on such a momentous occasion, you, the Master, call each of our hearts, maybe to check in, maybe, oh God, so that we might awaken within ourselves and to know that life, and especially life's transitions, are always about going with what matters most. And you imprint that upon our hearts through the power of your word and your Spirit. You call us, oh God, to respond, and I pray that in humility and truth we do. ready and willing, Lord, here am I. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.